Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Man, shit is crazy, y'all. Like, what am I gonna do? I gotta find a new job. Hi, welcome to the Modern Waiter Podcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter, where we discuss all things restaurant business. Learn something.
Yep.
Laugh at something. We discuss the art of getting cut.
Oh, okay.
Cuts.
It's time to go home.
As usual, I'm joined by my good friend, Danny DeVilla.
What's up, people?
Okay, so where are we at in the podcast?
This is actually our 104th episode, which equals 2 years in the game.
Okay.
Yes.
So is this going to be on season three? Because we're doing it by year.
Yeah. So.
This is going to be the end of season two.
This is end of season two going into season three.
So next week is season three.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. This one will be a fun one.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about getting cut.
Getting cut.
How to get cut.
Yeah. Like the ninja ways.
Oh my gosh. You know, so it was raining all day yesterday. And we had a little storm Ada coming through this way. And, you know, it's just 2020s, you know.
2020s.
Throwing 2020. Hail Marys.
Yeah. 2020 is a year for the record books across the board.
Across the board. And to be quite honest, I don't work enough shifts to even take cuts.
Yeah, to warrant taking the cut. Exactly.
So for me, I mean, if I were to work closer to, you know, more days, I'd be
a full load.
I'd be into trying to get cut.
Into sliding out if you needed to.
Correct. But as it stands, you know, obviously I've been in the game for, you know, 25 years or so. I know about the tricks and the dips.
Yeah, there's so many.
Yeah. So I know a lot about the subject. You know a lot about the subject. And a lot of our listeners know a ton about the subject.
Oh, yeah.
But sure. For those of you who don't. Right.
Well, let's tell them what a cut is. I mean, it makes pretty much sense. It's a simple word, but.
Okay. For those of you not in the business, allow me to explain what getting cut is. So in restaurants and some retail. That do not guarantee hours. They're dependent on the work volume.
Exactly.
Okay. So management mitigates labor cost by reducing staff, sending someone home a la getting cut.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the breadth of it. And at my place, getting cut usually happens before the shift starts.
Oh, okay. Which is actually really smart on management.
Well, maybe it's just a matter of circumstance. Mm-hmm. Because
you guys do reservations, so you kind of know what's going on from your books and stuff like that.
And
you can gauge accordingly.
Yeah, but the schedule's already made. Mm-hmm. You want to put as many people as you can.
You want to cover your butt across the board.
Across the board.
Yeah, and then you make cuts accordingly.
Correct. So generally, if there are cuts to be made, you know, it'll be done before. And so we're not going to talk about that at all because it's not prevalent. It's only the first place that I've worked.
That does it like that.
Yeah, that does it like that.
I dig it though. So,
you know, we're going to talk about most places that I've worked. Yes.
And then getting cut.
Being in the building And most everyone else that everywhere else that I've worked, it's, you know, they close a little bit later. Mm-hmm. And so you trim staff as the volume wanes.
Exactly.
Okay. Leaving you with, you know, the closers.
Well, or... so let's go through the cut process. So when you go to the restaurant, so when you originally come in, there's going to be like, there's first and second, it depends on how many people you have on your staff, maybe even third cuts, your final cuts, which leads you to, you know, leaving with just the closers, like you were about to say. Mm-hmm. So when you first come in, there's going to be, you know, you work your shift, you work through volume. And then let's say right at that point when your reservations or that time when it starts to slow down happens, you mm-hmm. have your first cuts, which are usually your doubles or people that have been working earlier, came in earlier, mm-hmm. and they are first on the priority list to get cut.
Yeah.
And then you have your people that are in your key sections in the building, and they're not your closers, but they're more volume sections, and they come in, and they might come in a little bit later. They're the second ones to get cut, and then we lead to the closers. Then I'm going to bring you back to where you're at.
Okay, so yeah, that's a good synopsis. I'm not sure, you know, that's a full load.
Yeah.
Full day.
I'm talking like a Friday or something. Yeah.
Waves, this is a weekend, you know, yeah. First wave, second wave, exactly. that kind of thing. So, I'm going to throw this out there, okay? I don't know if anyone uses the term, but I invented the term DTC down to closers. Particularly at the old place. That was me.
I don't know
if I ever told you.
Really?
Yeah. Being DTC was something that I came up with.
Really?
Yeah. So you'd ask the manager, you know, are we DTC? And it started with Cholak.
Okay.
You know, and then he picked it up and he started using it, and he'd be like, you know, and he walked by, he'll just say, hey, DTC.
Okay.
And then, you know, everybody knew that it's the time. Scramble's on.
Yeah.
It's down to closers. Pew, and we had two closers.
And they were scattering like roaches again.
Oh, yeah. You got to get. And at the time, we were responsible for laundry. So you had to be on that.
Oh, you remember but, that? That grind was a whole different grind.
Disgusting. That was. That's when you really had to be vicious.
Yeah, it was a grind again.
You had to. So we're kind of talking over your heads a little bit. We, for our linen situation back in the day, we had to
wash the linen.
Our own linen.
We had a washer and dryer in the back.
We did not have a linen service.
Yeah, we had a washer and dryer in the back. And it's the first place I ever worked that was like that.
Yeah, I mean, they're hotel-style places, like small boutique hotel-style places that do it.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. But the timing of it, you know, and we only had one washer, one dryer at the time.
Yes.
Okay. So the kitchen would do their stuff in there too. Mm-hmm. That was terrible.
It was.
So we did a show previously about cash outs. All right. Check it out if you haven't already. And after you get cut, you know, you do your side work, you get your cash out, you can leave after a closer signs you out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we won't really, you know.
We won't delve into that completely, yeah.
We won't get back into that, okay? So as we parse out the art of getting cut, we'll look at, in the context of two scenarios.
Sure, okay.
Okay, so the first scenario is going to be getting cut because the rush is over.
Yeah.
Okay, presumably you've come in, mm-hmm. you had your peak on the bell curve, and then you're over that curve and it's looking to, you know, flatten out a little bit towards the end, okay? And then the second scenario is getting cut because it's slow and no rush is imminent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no rush is anticipated, and there's ways to deal with both of them.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're gonna take a look at that. And I must acknowledge that you work with one of the most ninja of coworkers that I've ever seen in the game to ever get cut and leave. You know who I'm talking about.
I think I do know who you're talking about.
Shipe or no shipe,
my man. Straight ninja style.
Yo, Kevin Shipe would be so good at getting out. You would wonder if he ever even worked at all. Like, it's how you'd kind of see him doing side work and you figure that he's just tightening up.
Yeah.
No, that's his real side work.
Yeah. Banging it out. He'd be like, all right, I'm done.
He probably uses all the tips and tricks we are about to use.
Like a Jedi mind trick.
You know, employ.
Yeah.
You know, he uses them on the daily. Okay. And we... Okay. Listen. If you know someone that you'd like to know, I'd like to explore this in a part two.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to reach out to the listeners. If you know someone who's adept at getting cut,
yeah,
we'd like to interview them, nominate them.
Yeah.
You know, reach out to us, email us at the modern way to not at, but you know, reach out to us at the modern way to podcast on Gmail or at the modern way to podcast
on IG.
So we're going to cut this up.
Flip it. Say it correctly.
The email is themodernwaytopodcast@gmail.com. And the IG is at the modern way to podcast. So reach out to us, nominate someone, make sure it's okay with them. You know, give us your contact information. It could be as innocuous as, you know, your email, phone number, or whatever the case may be.
Absolutely.
We'll reach out to you and hopefully we'll pick put the together best a show person together. For
yeah.
We'll put the show together. We want to know about, you know, anything we may have missed or, you know.
Or your little tricks and trades of how you get in and out.
Correct. So I kind of got ahead of myself. In season three, we're going to do more interviews.
Okay.
And we're going to do more roundtables.
Yeah.
We're going to start giving you information that you can learn from that is entertaining. That's not always coming from us.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, we want to reach out to other people and kind of see how kind of really bring to light different parts of the industry and learning and all that other kind of things like that. To where, but still keeping it with our fun and flavorful kind of atmosphere.
Correct. So yeah, reach out to us, nominate someone. And throughout our episodes, and on social, you know, you could follow us on social media. I'm very active there. Let us know, and we'll get that going. And we're going to reach out to you for show suggestions, like nominating people, you know, who are good at their craft, who mm-hmm. are passionate about their craft, who, you know, have maybe even good stories or whatever the case
Absolutely.
May be. Okay. So moving right along, let's look at getting cut because business died down.
Okay.
You know, we touched on that briefly when we interviewed Drew Talbert a couple of weeks ago. And he said that he was adept at getting cut. So in that scenario, it takes planning.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Both of it does take a bit of planning. One takes, you know, getting cut when volume dies down takes planning because you can't wait till the volume comes down to say, like,
you kind of notice the small decline. And then, like, with the Shipes and our other friend, Drew, mm-hmm. not Talbot, but the other, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, Drew Blood.
Drew Blood. Mm-hmm. They, you know, they would come to me because I like to stay. You used to both stay at work, and they would be like, yeah, well, I think I'm done after this tape. And I'm like, okay, so that would be my cue. And we're not saying that's not them going to a manager. That's him coming to a person that they know can handle the volume.
They're working behind the scenes.
Exactly.
Okay.
So they can start making their way out the door. Now, if something were to happen, they're there for you. You mm-hmm, know what I mean? They make sure that you still have a smooth transition to where nobody notices. But
so what you're describing is a bullet point in my notes called negotiating.
Yes.
Okay. So what he's describing, you know, Drew Blood will do, or to Kevin Shipe to a lesser degree.
Yeah.
He doesn't necessarily use that as much. Is negotiating with other people to have a transition out that if they do get sat, you know, hey,
everything's covered.
You're going to take my tables.
Yeah.
You know. And so when you present it to the manager, you're going to say, hey, I
got nothing going on. Yeah.
Yeah. I ain't got nothing going on. But the good ones start their getaway
early.
Early.
Yeah.
Like right in the beginning.
They get their side work organized or their, you know, they'll pick a side work that they can kind of keep moving almost like a what's the idea that I'm using? Like a running side work, but it's really setting them up for their closing side
work. Oh, yeah.
Work.
You're keeping it tight.
Yeah.
So when we list these out, my first thing is you have to constantly read the room. That's number one.
Every time.
You're constantly reading the room. Number two, you're planning ahead. Mm-hmm. You know, you're coming in, you're touching base with the host, you're having, you have some levity to it.
Yeah.
You know, since cuts are made primarily for cutting labor cost, then it makes sense to make sure that you don't have a lot of tables at the time when you deem cuts are going to, you know, you want to get off the clock.
Absolutely.
Quickly.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense for you to throw your hat in the ring for a cut. Mm-mm. If you have a bunch of tables.
True. Yeah. You at that point, you're making money. Yeah. That's what you're there to do anyways.
Yeah.
You're there to make money. The key with the cut is knowing what Drew Blood was famous for was knowing what you need to make. Okay. Mm-hmm. Making it and getting out the building as fast as possible.
It's a certain type of personality that does it. And Drew Talbert did say, hey, you know, I was that personality. I was good at it. And you kind of, there's a lot that you leave on the table money-wise.
True.
For the cut.
Yeah.
You just want to make you're just enough guy.
Yeah.
You know, you are just enough guy. And there are exceptions to the cut order. You talked about it.
Yeah.
The exceptions would be doubles usually would go first. Mm-hmm. What else? Doubles usually go first. Certain sections.
Absolutely.
You know, certain sections just carry the early cut.
Yeah, because of where they are in placement in the building, or if they get set last and then they get cut first kind of thing, like upstairs in our old restaurant.
Okay, yeah.
You know, certain places where it's strictly made for the volume. You know what I mean? So it's not like there's the normal seating and then you have areas that when you hit the capacity of those normal seating areas, that you're going to bring them up and you're adding extra seating at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's most restaurants have a popular place to sit.
Absolutely.
And then the least popular places usually get cut first because they're not going to keep getting set.
Exactly.
Okay. So when you're planning ahead, you're really monitoring the wait.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're constantly swooping by the front desk.
Yeah.
Seeing how many you have on the, you know, on the wait list. But a key thing also is to know your manager.
True.
You know,
yeah, that's the key.
Some managers are not having it.
Yeah.
They're slow on the cut. And you don't want to push them.
No.
Some managers, if you ask to get cut,
you ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might as well just hang it up.
You messed up.
Yeah. Because now they know you want to go.
You're on the radar.
Yeah, you're on the radar. You got it. Yeah. The key is to not be on the radar, okay?
It depends, because some managers, you need to be on the radar.
True.
You know, because squeaky wheel gets the oil,
yeah.
And they don't want to hear it. So, you know, I just want to get him out of here. He's bothering me.
He's
and you're like, what? No, that is not a reason. But it works because they know that manager, you know? So very important, know your manager.
Oh, yeah. You got to know and you know what's so funny is now, so we were talking about Kevin Shipe. Kevin Shipe is a manager now.
Mm-hmm.
And he is probably he cuts most aggressively of all my managers.
Mm-hmm.
He runs a very tight ship.
He cuts like he serves.
Yeah. No, he runs a tight ship. He makes sure the people that want him to stay and make their money, they make their money. But he's not, you know, he's making sure his hours are where they should be at, which I love about it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It gives the people that want to be there the ability to make the money. And the people that don't want to really be there, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah. I think managers who've never been servers, they lean towards, hey, I just want to cover my butt.
Yeah, and that's we get that theory. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with covering your butt, but at the same time, it's such a fine line of it can go the other way so quickly that you're like, well, now your labor's up for no reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, none of it is an indictment like, oh, you know, this scenario sucks or whatever.
Yeah.
It just is what it is.
People
work according to like their sensibilities and their personalities.
Absolutely,
nothing wrong with it.
True.
You know, so if you're a person that really wants to, you know what? I believe that each manager knows what they have to do to mm-hmm. do their job and
efficiently.
I don't want to say that, I don't want to give them that much credit, but they do their job, you know, to the satisfaction of their bosses.
True. Okay.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So if their bosses aren't down their neck about, you know, labor costs,
like,
why bother cutting labor and you know?
Yeah.
And being at the risk of being butt naked if a spike happens, yeah. and then mm-hmm. there's a complaint and things like that. You know, each boss or owners have the things that they don't want to do. They don't want to hear about any guest complaints.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't want to hear about, it took us a while, or they're busy, or they seemed like they were understaffed.
Nah.
Okay, so that's why we're not indicting any managers here for, run the shift how you want to run the shift, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is our perspective, and it's worth talking about.
Absolutely.
And so
we're just on the other side of the coin.
Yeah, I mean, but I think we're fair.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
We know when servers aren't.
We've been in the industry
for
long enough to where we understand what's going on, almost in their point of view, in our own point of view.
Correct. You know, listen, the server point of view is one way. But it's important to have the thought exercise.
You have to think about the both sides of the coin.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be on the other side of the coin. I've seen it where I've been the only one or two people in the building. And we do get a little pop.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on who you're with, but.
True. And like, it's not fair to the guest if you're just thinking about labor or making your employees happy.
Yeah.
Your guests have to come first.
The guests have to come first.
If you're going to have people come back through the door.
Yeah.
I've worked at places where I've surmised that, the inmates run the asylum and the guests end up suffering.
Yeah.
There has to be a balance.
There has to be a balance.
Without a doubt. But moving right along, after knowing your manager's tendencies, you need to make the host your ally.
Yes. Oh, no, that's the key.
Okay. You need to make the host an ally. Without that,
nothing.
Yeah. You ain't getting cut.
Yeah. Because they'll just seat you, and then even if it's not like, you have to, like you said, there's a system in play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're just doing their job. May not be the best job.
But they're doing their job.
They're doing their job, okay? So let's look at it from a broader perspective,
sure.
Okay? So you get a table.
Mm-hmm.
You work the table through, you have no more tables. It's simple as that.
Yeah.
Now
you're past you have just passed that moment where the wait is over.
You're anticipating getting off the wait.
Mm-hmm.
Now what you want to do is sandbag your tables.
Yeah.
If you have existing tables, you can't get sat if there's somebody already seated
exactly.
in your section.
That's the key. Okay. So you got to keep them there. That's me. Like you're selling desserts. You're not worried about the flip at that point of that last.
You're
round
not
of table.
Worried about the flip.
You hang out for a minute. I gotta get my side work done. Listen. I'm doing little things like that to get myself out the door.
So you read the room and you say you got a new table, right?
Yeah.
You want to time that table out as much as it takes you
to get all your stuff done.
To get all your side work done.
Yeah.
Okay. So whatever that timing is, that's the timing of that particular table.
That's how that is one of the things I do as a, like, if I know I'm getting cut, I always try to take that last table because I want to have something to do while I am getting all my work done.
Listen, it makes no sense for you to be in the building and you not
making
money.
Exactly.
Okay? So I know people who give up tables and then go do their side work. You're still here. If it takes you 45 minutes to
that's
do
a table
side work,
turn.
That's a table turn.
Yeah.
That's your tip out. What
exactly.
is wrong with you?
Yeah, that is the key to the game. People are like, man, you took this and said, yeah, that's my last one.
They'll be gone before you leave.
Exactly.
How many times does that happen?
Every time. Yeah.
Every time. So you sandbag your existing tables, okay? You slow the food down.
Mm-hmm.
You don't drop off the check. If they're at the point where you know that if they you drop the check, they're going to get up and then you might get resat. Ooh. You messed up, buddy.
Right? You didn't read it right.
So you got to sandbag the tables that you do have so that... And obviously, if you have a full section, you're not going to get cut either.
Exactly.
So it's that groove you have to hit. Let's say I remember at the old job, the groove was about 9 o'clock.
No, 9 o'clock's key time, yeah.
Okay. 9 o'clock, you want to start looking to being pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's the beginning. You're not getting cut at 9 o'clock. You start making moves at 9 o'clock where by...
You're walking out the door at 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Yes, you're walking out the door at 9:30, 10 o'clock. So that means you would have gotten cut at 9:20.
Yeah.
Okay? So between 9 and 9 o'clock, you got to start, cycling tables through, dropping some checks, making sure that you're not getting any new tables. So you literally tell the host, hey, you trying to die tonight? That was my line. You trying to die tonight? Because if you seat me, I will kill you. You know? Or I go up and it's like, you know what I'm doing at 9:30? What? I'm getting in my car and going home. You know? I just let them know, listen, do not seat me. And then there's some hosts that you can't do that because it can backfire. They will seat you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so in that's where the negotiation comes with your other cohorts. Absolutely. Right? You negotiate. If I get a table, you know.
You got me.
You got me, right? Yeah, I got you. I'll take your table, things like that. You don't do your side work too early either.
No.
Right? You do your side work. So Shipe, for example, okay? He knows what his side work is going to be. So he does it a little at a time.
Exactly.
Where it doesn't look to the manager, hey, you're doing side work and you're not at your tables.
Exactly.
He's just like...
He's tightening.
He's tightening up.
He's tightening the screw.
Yes.
Before it goes fully in there and it's locked.
Yes. Yes. He's tightening up. Okay. And so the negotiation can go like this. If you know that someone is going to be first cut due to their section... Mm-hmm. You can bargain for that first cut.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, hey, I got something to do or whatever the case may be. If you get cut before me, do you mind if I go first?
Exactly.
And depending on who that person is, sometimes they like that section because they want to go.
Yeah.
So,
you know. At that point, there's nothing really you can do about it.
But you want to be on the first wave of cuts. So depending on the amount of staff, sometimes they cut like, you know, oh, two can go.
Yeah.
Or three can go or just one. Mm-hmm. Generally, you want to be first cut to guarantee what... So, we're talking about the art. So this is next level. Okay. You want to negotiate.
Negotiation's key.
It is key.
I think it's the biggest. It might be one of the biggest things to do if you want to get out of the building in a proper setting.
And if you want to get out, you can even negotiate to be in that section that gets cut
first.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's a risk because you tend to make less money. Mm-hmm. But if you're at the type of place that, you know, you say, hey, do you mind switching sections because, you know, I don't want to be here all night or whatever the case may be. You got to come in visualizing the whole game.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to.
Yes.
And I would have people that would come in, right? And, you know, because they knew I liked to close or something like that. And they would try to approach me at, you know, at that 9 o'clock hour. Oh, do you want to move into my section? I'm like, no. We should have talked about that at 5 o'clock. Yeah. Okay. I'd have had no problem staying, but now I've sat here and done nothing, and you want to leave and you made money. No, it don't work like
that. It doesn't work
that
way.
You are stuck.
Too late. And that's another thing, too. By the time they wait to negotiate with you at 9 o'clock, guess what? Nah, I'm closing for so-and-so.
Yeah.
The deal's already made.
Yeah.
You know, so you're not even available even if you were desperate to do it. You know? So when you come in... You got to see, you have to make those moves early.
Yeah.
Okay. So either switch sections if that's allowed, you know, make your backdoor deals to make sure that if someone else gets cut before that, you can snag on that,
exactly.
Get your side work going. And these, you're constantly moving. So you're not under radar, just standing around.
Exactly.
And then the manager is equating you standing around to like, what, you're trying to get cut? No.
And you have those people in every restaurant. I'm sure that everybody in a restaurant is in their head right now is turning like, yeah, I know that person. I know that person, the negotiator, the person that's trying to stay the other way of the side, both sides of the coin. In any restaurant I've ever been in, there are all the above.
When I first started, there was a girl that was, I mean, she was a woman among children, okay? She had a kid. She, I mean, wow. How are you leaving right now? But she was, and I really think a part of it is constantly, if you're constantly moving, people can't even see you.
Exactly.
In the restaurant business, you sense lack of motion. You can see when someone is not moving and not doing something, not working. But if you're working, you're invisible.
Exactly.
You're invisible. Man, I'd see her grab her purse and like cutting out the back. I was like, wow.
How did that just happen?
And I learned a lot from her about getting out.
Nice.
You know, how to time out, which side work to do first, which side work to do last. Because you could not roll side work as the first thing while you're doing, because guess what? If you're not cut and you're doing silverware, like you're rolling silverware,
you just did it.
You're doing running side work.
Yeah,
that's not closing side
work. Exactly.
It ain't closing side work until you're cut.
Yeah.
Okay. So don't tell anybody. Tell you know, hey, you know, I learned this from my waiter. No. So another part of the negotiation is calling in a favor.
Yeah.
You know, if you have something to do, a movie to catch, a date to go on, the pressure's on. And that's when getting cut never really works out for you.
Ever. Man, remember we used to go see all the Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm.
And something
at midnight.
When it was only midnight showing.
Midnight showing or the 10 o'clock showing or 10:30 or whatever
the hell. The latest show of that opening night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, if you really needed to get out, it usually doesn't work out. I don't know why, but it's always when you don't have anything to do.
Oh yeah, you're gone.
Your badger comes up to you. You can go. You're like, wait, what? You know, but when you come and you're like, I didn't really want to work today.
Yeah.
You know, there's somewhere I want to go and you're trying to get cut. It's like you end up closing.
You always get that table leg in waiting. Like, mm-hmm. All right, at the end of the night, like, oh.
Exactly. Exactly. You're sitting there going like.
You're watching the clock.
You're watching
the
clock.
We're good. We're good.
Yeah.
Work.
And that couple comes in. You're like, oh, I'm sunk. That's when you send out the text, not going to make it.
I'm not going
to. Not going to make it.
Now, sad face emoji.
Just go on without me. So the other scenario of getting cut is when there's no, you know, there's no volume imminent.
Yeah.
You know, it's less mechanical mm-hmm. and more nuanced, this scenario. Yeah. So let's say you come in and it promises to be slow
mm-hmm.
or dead, okay? You really are... when the rush won't happen, your point of focus should be the manager.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So again, in this scenario, a lot of them overlap. You got to know your manager.
Absolutely.
Some managers get annoyed when people ask you to get cut.
Yeah. No, they do. You could tell, and you can see on their face, and you're like,
You know already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you already know. So then what?
I find it so funny because those same people that want to get cut, right?
Mm-hmm.
They come to me in my restaurant. I'm like, Danny, get me out of here. Because they know I'm not the one asking the manager for myself, but they don't want to be. They want to look like, well, he wants to make money kind of thing. And in the back of my head, like, you just want to leave and you don't want to be on the radar.
Well, I mean, listen, that is a quality move.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I ain't mad at it.
Because if you're closing and then you lobby to the manager, hey, man, you know, I want to make some money. There's not much going on. It's almost like you're a respected, trusted voice.
Yeah.
But if you're some whiny, always want to get cut personally, the person, no one wins.
Yeah. You're stuck.
They're not going to get cut. They're going to get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get stuck just babysitting,
mm-hmm.
not making
any money. Yeah. You're already a pain in my butt.
And you got to be there anyway.
Exactly. Because I was already planning on being there.
So it's almost like in this scenario, we're talking about the art of inception.
Yeah.
Okay. So you want to plant in the manager's mind that you're
key.
The best person to get cut.
Yes.
Okay. So how do you do that? Well, yeah, you planting the seed.
Yes.
Okay. Planting the seed.
You gotta look. It can go a few ways. It can be as simple as like you can negotiate with your host. Hey, seat that person's section so they look full and this way I can get out. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
It can go so many. There's so many different ways to ninja it out. So you have to make it work how you can make it work.
Okay. So that is risky.
Oh yeah, it's
okay.
Because at that point that person might get full and then you're left because you're that section that's wide open.
And you're the only one to get sat.
Yeah.
And then you get sat, they get money, they're working themselves out, and then you get stuck.
And then you get stuck.
You get leapfrogged.
You hurt yourself.
Cuz you got the newest table.
Yeah.
So who got the newest table?
Yeah.
You're not getting cut.
You're stuck.
Yeah, cuz you're not saving them any money.
Yep.
On the labor. So the nuance is I like to look pathetic. You know, I just kind of stand around, maybe I'm joking around talking to people. Mm-hmm. I'm just slowly rolling silverware.
Doing something, but looking busy, but not doing much.
Looking busy, but looking pathetic. You know, and the manager comes by. You want to make sure that they think it's their idea. You're getting cut.
That's the inception. That's the key is making them believe that you're what you willed them to do.
Yes.
Was their will in the beginning intention.
Yes. So in the instance that you're dealing with a manager that doesn't mind making cuts and likes to get trim on his labor costs, yeah, it's a little bit more straightforward.
No, you just come talk to him, especially if you have a good rapport with him.
Yeah, you say, hey, man, I've only had one table. I haven't had anything. You give him the status report and you let them, you know,
and take let them make an assessment. Absolutely.
Yeah, you're not saying like, hey,
I don't want to be here. None of that. You don't say none of those things. You say,
no, but the whole can I be cut?
I never say those words. They should never come out your mouth, technically.
I have. I have because, you know what? You can play it when you can play it.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
Hey, can I be, like, straightforward. Can I be cut? You give them the status report. What's up? You know, you're just kind of hanging on that branch. Maybe the branch breaks. You break your leg. You're there all night. You know, but yeah, you're willing to take that, you know.
What am I sneaky? Like, if I know it's a dead night and I want to get out of there, I'll look at him and I'm like, all right. You know, actually, I said this not recently. I go, hey, if nothing comes in by this time, do you mind if I get out of here? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've already been, you know, and then.
That's a great.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
It works every time. Okay. I said, hey, it was like 8:30, right? I was like, hey, man, if nothing comes in by like 9 o'clock, you know, if I get out of here, there's only one table, you know, mm-hmm, they're about to close out. He goes, oh, yeah, yeah. And there's nothing coming. Okay. Good. And then.
That's like a mini negotiation.
It was, yeah. And then at 8:35, he comes back and he goes, because the table had got up, he goes, you can go.
Nice.
It was perfect.
Nice.
It was like, I meant it to happen.
Yeah. You manifested it.
I did.
That's pretty cool. I like that. That's not in my repertoire, you know? Now, I don't get cut anymore, but.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. That is nice. I like that. So, yes. Are you... The reason why I don't mind, you know, being straightforward is because some managers don't get it.
No, yeah.
They'll have everybody there.
Well, the key is for you, for a person like me or you or somebody like that, where if you're not on the I want to be cut radar, then when you do ask, it's not that big of a deal because they understand that you understand the nature of the business. You're not mm-hmm. asking to be cut because we're not asking to be cut because we want to just leave the building. We're asking to be cut because there's no money for us here.
Yeah,
you know, and that's what we're here for. And we're adults and we're here to make money. Mm-hmm. We're not here to, you know, as personally, I'm talking about me and you right now. When we go to work, we're going to work because we have bills. We have real life situations. So
yeah,
when we're saying we want to leave, it's not like, hey, we're not on the radar. Be like, you know, we just want to go out and have a drink with our friends. We're on the radar. There's nothing here for us at this point.
It makes sense for me to go.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that takes a bit of building credibility.
Absolutely.
Up, where you come into work. You show up on all your shifts. You mm-hmm. come in on time. You work. You never really ask to be cut because you just play it out. And you don't ask to be cut because kind of you don't have to.
Exactly.
You know,
what's that hour in your mind? You know what I mean? Your friends they might get to the bar before you, but you'll still be there with them by the end of the night if that's the case or however you want to look at it.
Hey, listen. When you're there to make that money, you make that money.
You make that money.
Okay? That's it.
Yeah.
So by the time you say the words, hey, you know, can I be cut? It's almost like a surprise. Oh, okay. Let me take a look.
Yeah,
and I'm fine with that.
Yeah, take a look.
You know, take a look. That's my move. Mm-hmm. You described how you do it. What I usually do is, hey, when you get a chance, can you take a look at the floor?
Yeah.
You know, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not asking to be cut necessarily. I'm asking you to do something.
Yeah.
Make cuts. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm asking you, hey, would you like to do something?
Yeah.
And then, you know, they can do whatever they want. Yeah, I mean, and it's always in their court. I'm a guy that thinks, hey, you know, do you mind when you get a chance, take a look at the floor, whatever. And they can assess the time that it is, mm-hmm. what the flow is.
Because sometimes they're just oblivious to time as a whole. Like, they might even realize that it is that late in the night. You know what I mean?
True.
And so when you said that to them, it's that A clicked in their head. They may go look at their watch mm-hmm. or whatever. They look at the time on the clock and they're like, oh, okay. They do a run through of the building and then it kind of sets them up because they might have been talking to a guest or just kind of, you know, certain stuff might just be going on and they just don't realize what time it is.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, they're not really there to just constantly...
babysit you.
Yeah, babysit you or make cuts or whatever. And some managers don't mind when a key employee comes up and says, hey, you know, this is the status.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. That's what they want. I mean, not that that's what they want, but they trust those employees' input.
Correct, because they're not being told what to do.
Exactly.
They're just informed like, hey, you know, this is what, okay. As long as you're on the side of this makes sense.
Yes.
When the failing of Drew sometimes, not Talbert, but Drew Blood, the failing of him sometimes is that he was wildly unrealistic. You know?
It makes sense.
He'd like, want to get cut at 8 o'clock.
He'd be like, we're in the middle of a rush. Where are you going,
exactly. No one in their right mind will cut you right now. You have tables. You know? You can't possibly be cut. Wildly.
Gone. Yeah, 9 o'clock. Like, where do you go?
No. He wouldn't be gone. He's good at... You know, he would give up tables and still be in the building for another hour and a half. What?
Like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
You could have kept that table.
You could have kept that table.
Yeah.
Or those tables.
Tables. I mean, I'll take it.
I'll take it.
I'll take it.
You made money off of
it. I'm your guy.
That's true. Yeah. But he was wildly unrealistic. So, yeah. Put a boy on blast like that. We're gonna let
you
it
know
go
we there. Love him. Yeah,
we're gonna let that go there. That's our episode on cuts. Cuts. The art of getting cuts. If you have a show suggestion, and yeah, definitely reach out to us. If you do like our show, one of the ways that you can support us is pass it on to a friend.
Absolutely.
You know, we're constantly growing, and we're growing because you. Press that, you know, share button,
you
things
hit the
like
share,
that.
You let people know. People know. It's word of mouth is a beautiful thing.
Yeah. You know, and we do appreciate it. You know, we are growing. So, you know, give us a rating of 5 stars. And, you know, it only takes a couple seconds to go down the list. And we're looking forward to season 3, where we're going to do
more interviews, more roundtables, information for the people.
Yes, we're gonna
learn while they're learning.
Correct.
You know, I love it. It's a great thing.
Yes,
we're
definitely.
Excited.
It's a good vibe. Yeah. We are excited. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter.
I'm Danny DeVille. Subscribe.
Got the industry buzzing. We keep them all asking who we are. They wonder what we about, and we tell them you suckers can't touch us.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.